So a lawyer, any of those here? Maybe a few. A lawyer stands up to talk to Jesus. And he has a question for him. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's a legitimate question. Really, it is the one question that's really on everybody's mind. Jesus, how do I get into heaven? How do I be a good person? What am I supposed to do? And Jesus responds that the lawyer already knows the answer to this question, and the lawyer faithfully rehearses that famous summary of the law: love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus says, and turns to go. Yeah, but hang on, says the lawyer. Who is my neighbor? Ah, said Jesus, let me tell you a little story. Now, like all the parables, there are lots of different ways to get into and to get back out of this famous, familiar parable of the Good Samaritan, which, by the way, is our title for it, not a title that Jesus gives it. He never says the Samaritan is good, but that's our usual way of interpreting and understanding the point of the story. Be a good Samaritan. Help people when they are in trouble. And so we name hospitals and nonprofits and auto repair companies after this Good Samaritan. And we even have Good Samaritan laws to protect people who try to help but accidentally hinder. Because we see in this story the tale of a good deed done and the lesson that we all should be doing these good deeds for others. But of course, like every one of Jesus's parables, when you look at it more closely, it gets a little bit messier than that. From a seemingly simple, straightforward question, what are we supposed to do, and for whom should we do it? Jesus leads us into some complicated territory. Now, the lawyer gets kind of a bad rap for his pesky questions. And maybe he is being a bit of a jerk when he stands up and starts off this exchange. He may just be asking this to test Jesus, to provoke and debate, not because he really wants to know the answer and to do anything about it. It's a lot easier, after all, to debate ideas than to act. We all like to talk about things, especially in New York. We can talk things to death, right? But we don't always manage to get out of that into actually doing something. But if that's what the lawyer's doing, Jesus doesn't let him do it. He simply asks a question in return. What do you see written in the law? And then, maybe because he's frustrated by his attempt to get Jesus, or maybe because he really does want to know, the lawyer pushes a little bit further. Yeah, but who is my neighbor? And so we get the parable, and Jesus winds it up with another question back to him. So who was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the lawyer is forced into answering, well, it must be the Samaritan, the one who showed mercy. And Jesus says, go and do likewise. I wonder if the lawyer felt totally clear on just what to do likewise. Because the parable doesn't really answer that question, does it? The lawyer wants to know what he, a good Jew, a good person, should do. And he wants it clearly spelled out to whom he should do it. Maybe he really does want to get out of the land of theory and discussion and do something. And he wants to know exactly what. Whom do I have to love? How am I supposed to love them? Where are the boundaries? Where does my responsibility begin and end? But Jesus tells this tricky story. He leads us through these different characters as if inviting us to identify with each one of them along the way. Are we the victim who falls into the hands of robbers, left for dead in a deserted place? Well, how awful. None of us want to be the victim, so no, we don't identify with him. Are we the priest and the Levite, heartlessly walking by without turning aside? Well, of course not, because we would never do such a thing. Well, then, we must be the helper, the hero of the story who stops to lend a hand. Oh, but wait, he's a Samaritan. He's one of those people, people whose beliefs and practices are all wrong, people who are not to be associated with no matter what. And just as this dawns on us, the listeners, Jesus wraps up the story and says, go and do likewise. So today at St. Michael's, after the service is over, we're starting a series of small group conversations, seeing if we can discern together what God might be calling us to do as Christians in America today. So many of us have talked about feeling like we're kind of on the edge of overwhelm and despair at all that is going on in the world around us, feeling appalled, feeling horrified at what is happening in our country. So much of it so contrary to the values that we hear in our Gospels. I find myself often looking at a headline and not wanting to read any further, just feeling sick in the pit of my stomach. How am I supposed to deal with this new piece of information? How am I supposed to talk about this with my kids? How much worse is it going to get in their lifetimes? The ongoing violence, the mass shootings, the ordinary shootings, all of the guns, the poverty and the homelessness that's all around us in our cities, and the greed and the selfishness that perpetuate it, the dishonesty, the power grabbing in our leadership, people that we once thought maybe we would look up to, the systematic despising of women and children in our laws and our economic policies, the fear in the exclusion of people on the margins, and on and on and on, we see what we can only call the triumph of evil in our world. And we can feel overwhelmed with how to address it. Now, is it all worse than it ever was? Probably not, which in some ways makes it harder to deal with. Human evil has manifested itself time and time again. And this is only the current iteration of it. And yet it feels like there's so much of it going on. It's so obviously deeply contrary to what we see and hear from Jesus, from the teachings of Scripture, from what our own hearts tell us. And yet, what exactly are we supposed to do? It's hard to know where to start. Teacher, we want to say to Jesus, tell us, what do we do here? What should we do? For whom should we do it? Who is our neighbor in these messed up times? I wonder what version of this parable Jesus would tell in response to us. Who would be the victim in a modern retelling of this parable? Who would pass on by without stopping? Who would come to help? And who exactly would we be in the story? There's a lot being said right now by those who like to analyze trends about how we are living in a time of reduced social trust, meaning that we are increasingly distrusting one another and the institutions that go into making up the society we're part of. And there was a recent piece in the New York Times that analyzed the link between poverty and violence and then made this point. When society's institutions have unraveled, people feel that they are on their own. They are then less likely to watch over one another or come together to address common interests. That about sums it up, where we are right now, in so many ways. We might not like to think so, but we might all be far more willing to walk on by than to get involved in our current social climate. We're less likely to want to risk ourselves for one another or give up our resources for each other. Just look at how we've gone through this pandemic, for starters. And we're quite accustomed to naming others as Samaritans. Not good Samaritans, but those people. The ones who believe and think the wrong things, who are in the wrong tribe. And it's hard to see that we have any common interests, let alone the responsibility to watch over one another across these deep divides. But Jesus' parable messes up all of our distinctions. Who is your neighbor? He says. Who is being a neighbor to you? Well, the short answer is simple. Your neighbor is the one who is right in front of you. Your neighbor is the one who might need your help right now, or the one who might be coming to lend you a hand. It's not just the one who is like you or in the group you're part of. It's the one who is right there being affected by you and your actions, which might be your actual neighbor next door in your building, or your neighbor that you pass on the street. It might be your neighbor who made the clothes you are wearing, or your neighbor who grew the food that you are eating. Or maybe it's your neighbor who is serving in the military or the police department in order to protect you. Your neighbor who might just be on the other side of all of those cultural divides of our time. Are you caring for them? And are you allowing them to care for you? Now, unluckily for the lawyer, and maybe for us, Jesus doesn't give a prescriptive answer to our questions. What should we do? For whom? Exactly how much is enough? And so on. Instead, Jesus challenges us to realize that all of humanity is our neighbor, regardless of tribe or creed. And lest that get too theoretical and in the realm of discussion only, he tells a simple story about what it looks like to love our neighbor as ourself. About a Samaritan who stops and sees the person lying there in the ditch and responds with pity, is moved in his spirit and his heart, and is not indifferent. Who halts his journey, doesn't keep going with his agenda, and he goes to help, doing what he can to tend the wounds. Who offers his own animal, takes his own time to accompany this person to the inn where he can get some help, gives his own money for the care, and then incorporates the innkeeper into helping with that care also. And who never seems to think that priest in Levi's job was to stop and take care of this guy, not mine. Or, I'm a Samaritan, why should I bother helping this guy? Or, I'm busy and I've got other places to go. He just stops and does what is needed. Loving your neighbor is less about fondness and common feeling than it is about basic, practical engagement, getting involved with the other person, being part of their experience, sharing resources to make their lives better. And maybe that's one-to-one, face-to-face, and maybe that's one-to-many across the globe. But it's looking out for others and heeding the impact of our actions and our choices on other people, and opting to help out even when it goes against our convenience. It's the very opposite of selfish individualism, and it's the kind of action that builds social trust. And it's something that we do without a lot of complicating thought or discussion. It's just about being in relationship with other human beings as a human being. It's what our neighborhood needs. Our neighborhood here, our neighborhood, the whole world. What are we to do? Who is our neighbor? Jesus simply says, look and see. They're right there in front of you. Go and show mercy. That's all. It's actually pretty simple. Our collect today gives us a prayer to live by. Oh God, give us grace that we may know and understand what things we ought to do, and also may have grace and power faithfully to accomplish them. Help us know, God, what we need to do. And dear God, help us to do it. Amen.